This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Jerome Anthony and you're listening to the Corporate Buzz podcast. Last week we had brought you, we had given you updates of what happened in the corporate sector in 2019. Today we're going to talk about something much bigger. We're going to talk about all the scams, all the Ponzi schemes, all the wrongs that happened in the corporate sector. To do that, I have Money Control's Corporate Bureau Chief, Prince Thomas, with me. Hi, and welcome to the show, Prince.
Hi, Jerome. Thanks so much.
Prince, I'm just reading about so many scams. You know, it's quite a gloomy picture out there. The corporate sector did face a lot of pressure, or, you know, there was a lot of stress in the corporate sector.
It was. I mean, like we said last week, that a lot of it is connected to the economic slowdown. And because of the slowdown, all these pain points are coming out.
Okay.
And just now, these scams, I mean, there are so many corporate governance issues.
Right.
We saw chief executives of companies, especially banks, being questioned about their actions.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were asked to leave. So, and the scams. And huge corporate governance issues, even the regulators were caught by surprise about the intensity and the gravity of the schemes that were run.
Mm-hmm.
So surely many scams were unearthed in 2019.
Right, Prince. Let's begin with DHFL, HDIL and the PMC Bank. There were defaults there. There was news of underworld links and, so much of exposure.
That's right.
Against RBI norms.
Right.
Can you just run our listeners through what happened there?
Yes, it's quite a complex web, actually. Basically, what happened is that both these companies, DHFL and HDIL, they are owned by the Vadhwan family.
Right.
And both had high exposure to the real estate sector.
Okay.
Now, because of the stress and the distress in the real estate sector, their investments went bad.
Okay.
And their exposure to, or the credit lines that they took from the banks, mm-hmm. was exposed. And they were unable to pay it back.
Mm-hmm.
So there were defaults, both HDIL and DHFL. Defaulted on payments. And the investigations therein then led to, there were forensic audits, and then investigations led to, there was the parallel investigation on Iqbal Mirchi.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a link between HDIL's, I think it's DHFL's unit,
okay.
a subsidiary to Iqbal Mirchi in real estate transactions.
Okay.
And then separately, we also had the PMC case,
mm-hmm.
where the bank suddenly ran out of money and
exactly.
it had to shut down its operations.
Right.
And the account holders were told that they could withdraw only 1,000 rupees initially, and then mm-hmm. it was increased, the
right.
limit.
Right.
And later on, we found out that more than half of the credit exposure of PMC was towards HDIL, and
okay.
this was completely against RBI norms.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing because they had created some 20,000 accounts and parked very small amounts in these accounts,
mm-hmm.
and these accounts were directly linked to the real estate financing firm. But because the amounts were very small, they escaped the scrutiny of the regulators.
Okay.
So pretty indigenous,
right.
but very harmful. And talking about thousands of customers of the bank.
Right.
And we also read reports about how few of them lost their lives because of the distress they were facing.
Right.
So quite a complex web here.
Prince, so moving on from the banking sector, just looking at the pharma sector, the Singh brothers, Malvinder and Shivinder, multiple cases, against them, and they finally land up in jail.
That's right.
What was their story?
So they landed in jail in October.
Right.
And you say pharma, it's interesting because the whole thing unraveled because of the transaction.
Mm-hmm.
Where they sold Ranbaxy, which was the crown jewel of the family,
right.
to Daiichi.
Mm-hmm.
But then Daiichi later on found out that there were a lot of skeletons in Ranbaxy, and then they sued the Singh brothers because mm-hmm. they asked for damages. It's a different case that later on Daiichi sold it to Sun Pharma. But then the case of the Singh brothers unraveled.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually what we saw is that their own company, which is Religare Finvest,
mm-hmm.
The company filed a case against the Singh brothers.
Right.
And that was the case that landed them into jail.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was routing of money,
mm-hmm.
Unaccounted money from the company to other firms that were linked to these brothers.
Okay.
And there also we know about the other linkages to a gunman, and how he's also been alleged to have taken a lot of money from the brothers.
Oh, okay.
And even there were some, seems to be some differences between the brothers. Shivinder on one side and his elder brother Malvinder on the one side. And they also traded some allegations. There even some physical fight involved in this. So yes, so finally the law seems to have caught up with them. There are multiple cases against them. And the question mark is how much of this money they will be able to return, or do they intend to return?
All right, Prince. What about the power sector? There was some tussle, there was some problems at CG Power.
Yes. So there the case was when suddenly they realized that they got a kind of a intimation from a bank that the company has defaulted on a payment.
Okay.
And when they tracked the trail of this, they didn't even realize a transaction of this kind had happened.
Okay.
So even the finance committee of the company was taken unaware.
Okay.
And then later they realized that this was all linked to the promoter entities.
Oh, okay.
And this company was chaired by Gautam Thapar. And we're talking about 2,000 crore of money that was unaccounted for.
Okay.
And later on, the company asked Gautam Thapar to vacate the chairmanship.
Right, right.
And now we see that a lot of investigations and all. Company has got another set of management and they're trying to raise money. But here again, the role of the promoter and independent directors and investors also came under scrutiny. Because how is it that a professionally run management was caught unaware, and these are talking about hundreds and thousands of crore. So surely another big name coming under scrutiny here.
Right, Prince. What about Karvi? You know, quite surprising there. Investor money was being used for not the purpose of investing, but other purposes. Can you just tell our listeners?
Yes, so Money Control broke the story
about
how Karvi was defaulting on payments to its clients. And when investigation started, it brought the trail about what actually was happening. Karvi was using the securities of its clients and pledging it to banks to raise money.
Right.
And eventually what happens is that the law catches on and they were unable to pay money. They defaulted on that. And we're talking about some 90,000 clients, these other customers. So SEBI, so there were also a tussle between RBI and SEBI because banks said that the securities shouldn't be touched because they had loaned Karvi on the securities.
Right.
Where on the other side, the customers went to SEBI saying that their money should be returned.
Right.
And that tussle is still unsolved. Much of this case is again being fought in the courts. But the good thing is that much of the money has been returned to the clients.
Okay.
But the banks are contesting it because their money is also involved.
Right, I mean, right.
Supposedly their money. Apart from Karvi, we understand that there are many other brokerage firms also under investigation. So we could eventually see more names stumbling out of this.
Okay. Prince, lastly, let's talk about Ponzi schemes. There were two big names that came up this year. And again, it was the customers who were at the receiving end.
Yes, both Winsome Diamonds and the IMA Ponzi scheme. In fact, in Winsome's case, it was again Punjab National Bank, which is at the receiving end.
Right.
And just like in the Nirav Modi case, here also the bank given Winsome Diamond letter of credit, you know, and that again bounced and promoters flew from the country and they are somewhere in the Caribbean islands right now. In the case of IMA also, there was this company based in, I think in Bangalore or Hyderabad, one of them, and they raised money and later on they defaulted on the payments. There were some other jewelry companies also. So what happens here is that even customers, they sometimes look at the higher interest rate that is being offered and they put in money in these companies without realizing the risk their money, you know, the deposits are facing. So yes, so again, cases very similar to what happened last year coming up.
Prince, as promised, you have delivered, you have, you know, given our listeners update of all the scams that happen in the corporate sector. Thank you so much for that.
Thanks, Jerome.
With that, we wrap this episode of the Corporate Buzz podcast. In case you have any query or in case you want to suggest something, you can write to us on mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, that's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.